For believers, ignorance of biblical truth can cause us to have a worldly grief rather than a godly sorrow. But we'll see Abraham, he believed beyond this life. He was looking for a city whose foundations and architect was God.
Thanks for joining us for this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today as we look at Genesis 23, you're going to take us through the New Testament passages that elaborate more specifically the details of what happens to both believers and unbelievers after physical death.
You know, that's right, Dave. And the Apostle Paul especially had quite a bit to say about this. So let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 23, and we're going to begin with verse 1, and then we'll be looking at numerous passages from the New Testament.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. To learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt, our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
She was a woman of faith. Yes, she failed, but she came around. She believed. She considered him faithful. And the scripture says she died in faith. All these died in faith. She is a believer. She is a believer. And back in our passage, we see that she died in the land of Canaan. Abraham, as we saw in Hebrews, and we'll see in a minute, understood with Sarah that they were temporary residents looking for a heavenly country. That's the reality for true believers. If you're a true believer, this life is not it. And if this world is it for you, something is very wrong. We are those who are to set our minds on the things above, not the things of earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are temporary residents here on this earth. So this life is not it. We are temporary sojourners on a fallen earth on our way to a perfect eternity with our Lord. Yet we're going to experience death if we're not here when the Lord comes. You see, as a consequence of sin, Genesis 3, there is death. But the Lord said also in Genesis chapter 2, in the day that you'll eat, you shall surely die. Adam and Eve not only died physically later, they died spiritually. You see, sin causes a separation between us and God. And if you die in your sins, you will experience the second death. First, you will be judged for your sins, and then you will be put in the lake of fire for all eternity. And if you or a loved one dies in your sins, there is no hope. But God's a gracious God. We can take comfort that even those loved ones who died in their sin, that God was gracious to give them an opportunity to believe. And that through their own volition, because of the love of sin, they have rejected God's gracious offer of salvation in Christ. That doesn't comfort us completely in that context, but we know God is good. And we know He is just. Yet the reality is not this for true believers. We do not grieve like those who have no hope. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, I don't have time to teach through this passage, but I'd like to point out some very pertinent things concerning what God has to say concerning believers in the church who die before Christ comes. Now, we're going to talk about Sarah. She's an Old Testament saint, but right here we're looking at what applies to us believers in the church. Now, the Thessalonian church had been saved for about a year. And they had learned a lot of truth within that time. And Paul did not hold back from sharing truth with them. But yet they were ignorant of some realities. And that ignorance was causing them to grieve unnecessarily. So what does Paul do to address their lack of understanding? He shares verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4. But we do not want you to be uninformed, or literally ignorant, brethren. This speaking of believers. And he says, brethren, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as the rest who have no hope. Now, the term asleep here is a euphemism for death. Certainly for believers, it's a good euphemism because our bodies will awake. Our spirits will be with the Lord, as we will see, but we will rise. It is though we are asleep. And certainly sleep speaks of inactivity of the body. It's a euphemism. We see later on he uses it to describe the believer who has died, those who have fallen asleep in Jesus, verse 14, the end of that. Verse 16, it's clarified with the phrase, the dead in Christ. Remember when the Lord Jesus was talking about Lazarus has fallen asleep, and then he had to say it plainly, he's dead. But for believers, death is not it, as we will see. So with this in mind, what happens when we die? Our bodies go in the grave. Our bodies go in the ground, just like Sarah. But eventually that body will rise. Yet there's more to us than just our bodies. We are spirit or soul. And concerning the spiritual aspect of death, Scripture is not silent concerning that. When a believer dies, his spirit immediately goes into the presence of the Lord. Philippians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul says in verse 21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I am to live on the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I don't know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ. That is very much better. Yet to remain on is necessary for your sake. The Apostle Paul saw his life here as to serve the Lord by serving the body of Christ. Otherwise, it's better to be with Christ. That's the only reason. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So the body goes in the grave, but the spirit or soul goes to be with the Lord. Now, non-believers, that is not so. If you die apart from Christ today, you will find yourself in Hades in torment, awaiting your judgment and then the final second death. That could be the lot for you today. People die. Kids die. Adults die. You need to know where you stand with Christ. You need to know where you stand. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, always being of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. That's the reality. Right now, we're in the body, but we're absent from the presence of the Lord. But he says here, for we walk by faith, not sight. We are of good courage, I say. I prefer to be rather absent from the body and to be home with the Lord. When a believer dies, our spirits go immediately to the presence of the Lord. We see in Revelation those souls who were martyred, whose bodies went into the grave. They were before the throne asking the Lord, how long, O Lord? They were in his presence. They were aware, and they were in his presence. So 1 Thessalonians, now Paul goes back to there. Paul goes, greatly desires them not to be ignorant concerning what happens when they die. Verse 13, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who have fallen asleep, that you do not grieve like the rest who have no hope. You see, the Thessalonians were very focused on the coming of Christ. And when Christ hadn't come yet, and believers in Christ had died, they became concerned. What happens to them? Do they miss it? But they were uninformed. They were ignorant. And we see here the Lord God, through Paul, shares that you may not grieve as the rest who have no hope. If you lose someone apart from Christ, there's no hope. If you are apart from Christ, there is no hope. There is no true hope beyond the grave. Only death and then judgment. It is appointed man once to die and then the judgment. Yet for believers, ignorance of biblical truth can cause us to have a worldly grief rather than a godly sorrow. But we'll see, as we saw in Hebrews 11 and back in Genesis, Abraham, he believed beyond this life. He was looking for a city whose foundations and architect was God. He believed the truth of God based on the fact through his seed blessing would come. And that's what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians. I should have had you keep your fingers there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's the key. If you believe that he died for your sins and he rose from the dead, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. If you believe the truth of Jesus dying for our sins and the subsequent resurrection revealing he is the Son of God and he has conquered death and sin, then your loved ones who have passed away in Christ, when Jesus comes, will come with him. They'll come with him. Everything hinges on what Jesus did. Your eternity hinges on how you respond to what Jesus did. You see, the wages of sin is death. And Jesus Christ, God the Son, took on human flesh. He lived the perfect life. He went to the cross and bore our sins in His body on the cross. And He died for our sins. And He rose from the dead. And we, in our sins, are called by God to repent, to turn and trust in Him for salvation of sins, to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It all hinges around Jesus Christ. He will either be your Savior or He will be what you stumble over to your eternal damnation. It's all about Jesus Christ. Everything hinges on what the Lord has done. 1 Corinthians 6:4, now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up by His power. You see, when you're a believer, our resurrection is connected to His resurrection. 2 Corinthians 4:13, but having the same spirit of faith, it is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we speak, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will raise us up also with Jesus and will present us to you. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 shares that if Christ is not raised, your faith is worthless. You're still in your sins. Everything hinges upon what Jesus did. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. The basis of our eternity is Christ. That's the basis of our eternal hope. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Indeed, the Lord speaks of this in John chapter 11. Turn to John chapter 11 as He is speaking to Martha. John chapter 11. And by the way, I should have told you, keep your finger in 1 Thessalonians also. We're still not done there. John chapter 11. Jesus is speaking to Martha. He's responding because she says, hey, okay, I know Lazarus will raise on the last day. I know that. Jesus responds. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. John 11:25. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even He who comes into the world. You see, if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you will live even if you die. And ultimately, death is conquered. You will never die. You will never be separated from the living God. Yes, amen. Now, friend, if you haven't repented and placed your faith in Jesus Christ, there's only the certain terrifying expectation of judgment. That's all there is. It is terrifying to fall in the hands of the living God. Think of the word terrifying. God says it is terrifying. If you were to die today and you are not in Christ, you will go into a terrifying judgment, an eternal destiny apart from Christ in punishment. But Jesus paid the price. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Then verse 15, 1 Thessalonians 4. For we say to you by the word of the Lord that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. Don't worry, Thessalonians. Your loved ones who have fallen asleep will be first. For the Lord Himself, verse 16, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. Jesus is currently in heaven preparing a place for us, that where He is, we will be with Him. John chapter 14, verse 1, let your heart not be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, Jesus says. If it were not so, I would not have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Speaking of when He comes back, not in His second coming, but in His coming for the body of Christ. Because He's preparing a place. He's coming to get us and take us there. And that's what our passage says. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. You have the Lord God bringing the spirits of those who have been with him ever since they passed away. And at this point, their bodies, after this shout, are risen from the grave, and they are united and resurrected for their glorified bodies. And then we see about those who remain. And then he says here, then we who are alive, verse 17, remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We will be glorified. This body of death will be taken care of someday. The sin that we struggle with, the day of sin and evil will be done for us. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Jesus, because Jesus is God. Our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3:20, from which we eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with his body of his glory by the exertion of the power which he has to subject all things to himself, Philippians 3:20 and 21. So here's the scenario. For New Testament saints who have passed away in Christ, when Jesus descends, he will bring with him the spirits of those who have died in Jesus. And then the dead in Christ will rise. They will meet their spirits. They'll be changed, glorified, sinless bodies for eternity. Immortality. This mortality must put on immortality. And then those who are alive, when Christ comes, shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet him, verse 17, in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. This term, caught up, harpazo, speaks of being seized or forcibly grabbed. The Lord Jesus is going to forcibly grab his church and take it out of this world. The Latin term is where we get the word rapture. That's where you hear that. He's going to grab us. It's a forcible grabbing. And we will be reunited with our loved ones in Christ in the air and be with the Lord forever. Then those who are alive and remain, verse 17, shall be caught up together with them. Where? In the clouds. Not on the earth. It's not his second coming to earth. It's in the clouds. He doesn't come down and then bring us up and then bring us back down. He's going to take us to the place where he has prepared, John 14. And then there'll be a tribulation. Then he will come in glory. We will meet him in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Amen. I can't wait for that day. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Turn there for a second. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. You see, we don't grieve like those who don't have hope. But it's the truth of God that reminds us and guides our hearts in the midst of difficult situations where loved ones in Christ have passed away. 1 Corinthians 15, 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now that's not the note on the nursery door. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. Death comes from sin. This mortal subject to death must put on immortality. And he says here, but when the perishable has put on the imperishable and the mortal has put on the immortality, then will come the saying that is written. And you'll be saying it if you're in Christ, by the way. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So because of what he has promised and what he will do, now that we are still on this earth awaiting that time, notice what he says. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. If you're not doing that now, your life is worthless. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. The Lord wants you to be about his business, in your family, at your work, within the body of Christ. There's work to be done before he comes, but he will come. And those who have fallen asleep in Jesus will come with him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, therefore comfort one another with these words. It is comforting to know that when a believer passes, that they're not there. When we've done memorial services, that's their body. That's not them. They are with the Lord. And I believe Sarah understood, and Abraham understood that Sarah understood that they were looking for a better country. He understood where Sarah was. He had hope beyond the grave. And I believe that based on Hebrews chapter 11. Death has no sting. Even though we die physically, we will never die. John 11. You see, because if sin is taken care of, death is taken care of. So here's the scenario when Christ comes before the tribulation. Here's what we have for the church, which is that if you die, you go in the grave, but your spirit goes with the Lord. And when he comes, there is a unification, a resurrection, and those who are alive remain are changed. Now that's for the New Testament, but what about for the Old Testament? What about for Sarah? Well, I believe from Scripture that when Christ comes at the end of the tribulation, that's the 7-year tribulation, Daniel's 70th week, it's my belief, as we see in Daniel chapter 12 and also John 5, 28 and 29 and John 11, that at that point, Old Testament saints are resurrected unto a resurrection unto eternal life. Sarah will rise again. Abraham will rise again because they believed in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. They were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. They died, as the scripture says, in faith. So with that in mind, how are we to deal with the loss of a loved one? We need to recognize we are sojourners. This is only temporary right now. And when we die, we go to the presence of the Lord and we will be resurrected. Secondly, we need to respond in faith. We need to let our grief and our actions be tempered by the Word of God. And this needs to be everywhere in our lives, by the way, but allow our grief and our actions to be tempered by God's Word. Notice Abraham mourns. Back to our passage in Genesis. Now Sarah lived 120 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. There was a time of mourning. Mourn for her. There's nothing wrong with mourning. If you're not mourning, if you have a pious view, she's with the Lord, I'm fine. That's not reality. The Lord Jesus, when Lazarus died, although he knew he would resurrect him, he wept. Death is a horrible thing, and we do grieve, but we don't grieve like those who have no hope. We allow God's word to inform our hearts. Abraham went in, it's implied that he went into her tent to mourn for her. Now, some say that Abraham was away in Beersheba and he came back and she was dead. I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the case. The implication here is that he was there and he went in to mourn for her. Now, it's interesting here. We see that Abraham was focusing on the truth of God. You say, how do I say that? How do I know that? How do I know that Abraham was trusting the Lord in the midst of this? It's pretty apparent from the rest of this chapter that Abraham understood that Sarah needed to be buried in the land because God had promised that.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. Greg, Abraham has come a long way. His belief in what God promised was demonstrated by his actions following the death of Sarah.
You know, that's right, Dave. And remember earlier, when Abraham didn't put 2 + 2 together regarding Sarah giving birth to a son by him, how he was afraid for his life and lied about Sarah not being his wife twice. Now, if he had believed God then, he would have realized that he couldn't die until she was with child at the very least. Yet now he buries Sarah in Canaan because God said he would give that land to Abraham's descendants. He puts 2 and 2 together. Friend, have you put two and two together? God said that simply if you admit you're a sinner before Him and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, His Son alone, who paid the penalty for your sins, you will be saved. How should we respond to a loved one's death in Christ? After listening to today's study, you should have the answer.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here, for another edition of Equipping the Saints.